Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest served as President Clinton's Secretary of Commerce. He served as President Obama's Chief of Staff. His brother John is currently on the Cook County Board. His father, Richard J. Daley, was the mayor of Chicago for 21 years. His brother, Richard M. Daley, was mayor of Chicago for 22 years. And now he wants to run for mayor. It's Bill Daley. Welcome back. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you, Pete. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I know I asked this last time, but if people didn't hear it, why do you want to run? Why do you want to do it? On all these problems.
Most of my close friends ask the same question every time I talk to them. But it really is about the future of the city. I love the city. I've lived here my whole life, my kids, my grandkids. We've got serious problems, but it is a great city. And I'm at a stage in my life. I'm not doing this to run for another office. I'm not doing this for more than two terms at most, if God willing. So I think we can. I think my experience, most of my career has been not like my brother or father, who were career politicians. Mine has been in the private sector. I think some of those experiences, talents, also as chief of staff, as commerce secretary, I could bring to bear in the mayor's office and help the city. We have enormous problems, as I said, but there's great opportunities, and we have a great people who can make this city better, and I want to help lead this and change the city.
We got a lot of things to fix in this city. I live in the city. Crime and the economy, taxes are my biggest concerns. A lot of people talk about crime. We need to solve some problems.
Well, crime is the issue. Let's be honest, we're coming to the end of the year. We're on a path to have almost 600 murders, 3,000 shootings. You compare that to New York, which is about three times the size of Chicago, and they have about 240 murders and probably less than 1,000 shootings. And L.A., which is a million people more, they're under 300 in murders and under 1,000 also in shootings. So something's not working here. And I think we've got to get stronger gun laws. We've got to have better communications between the police and community relations. They've got to do a better job. They are great in many ways. The men and women of the police department go out every day to protect us. We should support them. We should encourage engagement with them by the communities, especially where there's crime that's high, so that they're helpful to the police officers. We've got to back them up. We've got to get tougher laws on guns. It is still a misdemeanor to be in possession of a gun in Illinois today.
This is crazy. Nuts. How do we change these gun laws?
Well, people have got to go to the legislators who pass these laws. They passed the law last spring, and they all celebrated the fact that after three gun convictions, the judge can use discretion to have a tougher sentence. And not one judge has done that since June. But it's like they're oblivious to the reality. There isn't an outrage. And I think at some point, when you have these sort of numbers, people are expressing their outrage by moving and leaving this city.
That's crazy.
And so we're coming to the end of the year, and I know some people may want to celebrate some statistics that have us lower than last year. That's fine. But the bottom line is, this is just out of control in many ways, and we've got to get people more engaged to help the police department, help them do their job, make them more professional, and get tougher laws and be more serious about some of these crimes.
You talk about we have to increase the communication between the police and the communities. How do you start that dialogue? Do you have town hall events?
You've got to get not at the top. Not with the superintendent or the leadership, with police officers in community. We got to do a better job of community policing. Get them out of the cars, walking in some neighborhoods, being engaged. I think that's important. But the community's got to want that, and the community's got to support these men and women in the police department. And many communities have not been as supportive as they should be. That is in helping the police officers solve crimes and a whole host of other things that they can do. But we've also got to get tougher on these guns. This is nuts what's going on in this city.
You kind of alluded to the fact that people are moving away from the city, moving away from the state in record numbers. And I know the mayor of Chicago can do some things as far as the taxes are concerned, but obviously a lot of it has to do with the governor and whoever's running the state of Illinois. But what kinds of things? I mean, because it's such a shame that people are leaving here because it's getting financially hard to live.
Yeah, the affordability is really difficult. We've raised taxes, and that's a problem. We have a long-term fiscal problem, and I've said we've got to have reforms to our pension system. We have about 100,000, 50,000 retirees and 50,000 present employees of the city of Chicago. It's 100,000 people, about 4% of the population. And that equates to about $28 billion in a long-term liability. Now, this is crazy, okay? And all the sort of ideas, revenue ideas, whether it's casinos, marijuana, commuter tax, real estate transfer tax, those are all ideas that have to be considered. But we also have to have some reforms done to our pension system that will give us the opportunity to begin to seriously address some of these issues. Because if we don't, the long-term economic forecast for the city is very difficult.
Bill Daley in studio with us. He's running for mayor in 2020. We will owe $300 million. And then 2023, the pension crisis, another $300 million.
Right.
The 3% cost of living increase. How do we grandfather that in? That has to go away.
Well, you've got to open up the state constitution. And, you know, some people don't want to do that because they're afraid that all you're going to do is savage retirees. And I don't think it ought to be all on the backs, obviously, of the retirees, nor on the backs of the taxpayers by keep jacking up taxes. So it has to be a combination of the two. But unless you change that constitution, just about all the honest attempts by labor and the mayor, his couple of attempts this past couple of years to begin to address the problem have been declared unconstitutional based upon our state constitution.
Right.
So we're all in this box, and we've got to get out of this box. And the only way to do it is to do a change to the constitution to allow serious negotiation and change take place, and a dialogue between labor and management, in this case, the government, to begin to try to address these problems. Because if we keep kicking the can and finding excuses,
you're right.
We're in a pile of doo-doo going down the road. That's not going to be very pretty.
Do you have a good relationship with J.B. Pritzker?
Yeah, I do. I think, right now, we're excited about a change. We've basically, the state for 4 years has been stuck in a neutral position. Nothing's really happened, only some slip back. So we have a new governor. I'm excited for him, for the state. Entire Democratic control, so there's no more excuses for Democrats.
Right.
They can't blame somebody else. They've got to begin to seriously solve these problems. I know it's tough politics, but if people begin to put the future of this state and the city first, not their political future, mm-hmm. then maybe they'll take some tough votes and tough choices and change some things. Because God only knows, things have to change, and they better change quickly, or else the voters are voting with their feet. Mm-hmm. And that begins a spiral situation. We have a great state. We have a great city. I'm optimistic for JB. I think he understands the balance between the need for economic growth, which we have to get. We have to keep our economic growth in this city. Without that, our problems only become worse. So we've got to celebrate the growth, do the things and that do not step on that growth, whether
right.
it's the building boom, businesses that are coming here, high-tech, young people coming here. This is still a great destination for young people to come for jobs right out of college. And we've got a blossoming tech community that's really growing and creative, and we've got to foster that. But then we also have to find ways, quite frankly, to bring some of this change to neighborhoods that have been so lacking for so long. Out on the south and west side.
You worked for two presidents, President Clinton and President Obama. What did you learn from working with them that you're going to bring to Chicago as mayor of Chicago?
Look, I think both of them, and they're both different personalities, different times, quite frankly, even though they're only 8 years apart. Clinton's was a need for real economic growth, boom. Obama dealt with a crisis the minute he came in. We were losing 750,000 jobs a month, size of Charlotte, North Carolina. So he came in at a very different crisis point. Clinton came in, the economy was starting to boom, he took steps. What I learned from both of them is you have to get the best advice, make a decision, and move on. But you've got to get good advice, good advisors.
Surround yourself with good people. I've always said that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you look good.
That
smarter
hard.
People, too.
Right.
You know, so you look better. That's my goal, is to surround myself with people who are much smarter than me, which may not be saying much, but and try to make the city a better city.
Right. Bill Daley in studio with us. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll talk
great.
A little bit
thanks.
More. It's 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
720 WGN and live on CLTV. Bill Daley is running for mayor. You can go to dailyformayor.com. Thank you again for coming in. You announced this week that you want the state to rename the Dan Ryan Expressway President Obama Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm proud of the service I did with President Obama. I think he's a great example of a leader and someone who he and Michelle are great examples of Chicagoans. And we have the Kennedy Expressway named after President Kennedy. We have the Eisenhower named after President Eisenhower. And it just seems fitting that the third expressway that runs literally through the city should be named for President Obama. He's spent his time on the South Side. Michelle grew up on the South Side. And I think it's fitting that that it be done.
Well, isn't there part of 55 down to Pontiac named after him? A lot of people don't know that.
No, and
because
sure
I drive to Peoria and I see the signs.
Either.
I drive to Peoria and I take 55
I mean,
down.
All due respect to the people in that stretch of 60 miles. But come on, this is the middle of the third largest city in the country. This is where he is from. He's the first president from Chicago, first African-American president, represented the South Side. His wife grew up on the South Side. It's only natural. A stretch of land, of highway, down 60 miles from here, it seems it's a nice gesture, but come on. I think we have to, this should spark some consideration of more meaningful
you're just trying
things.
To get the dialogue going, basically.
Yeah, but I do believe, I have believed for a long time, that when you've got the Kennedy, the Eisenhower, and a third major expressway here, from the city he's from, this is not like naming something for Bill Clinton from Arkansas or, all due respect, George Bush from Texas.
Right.
This is a guy from Chicago.
Yeah, he lived
in Chicago.
He still has a house in Chicago.
He still has a house here. His library center is going to be here.
His library is going to be in Chicago.
His wife's from here.
His wife's from here.
Give me a break. I mean, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
The Dan Ryan family was very upset.
Yeah, and I understand that.
Sure.
You know, he gave great service to the county 70, 80 years ago. But there is a difference between president of the county board and president of the United States of America, in my opinion. So all due respect to them, and their family has a forest reserve named after the grandfather of the gentleman who this expressway was named for. So, you know, but it's 70 years. I think, you know, it's been 2 years since President Obama left office, and nothing major has been named after him other than this 60 miles somewhere in the middle of wherever. And, you know, that's nice. But come on, this is the third major expressway in the city and the third one that would be named for a president.
Mile marker 221. You can stop in Morris.
You know,
there's a nice
there,
DP there.
The
yes, it's very, very
stand
nice.
Stand next to the sign.
Nice McDonald's over there. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know the mile
markers. You have to get off the highway, though.
Definitely so. When you came in last, we talked about your father in 1968 because it was around the 50th anniversary.
Right.
You were 20 in 1968.
Right.
Okay, when the unrest was happening with the Democratic National Convention. There was a big disconnect between 20-year-olds and your father.
Mm-hmm.
How do you relate to millennials today? They look at you, oh, I don't know if I'm going to vote for this guy. What do I know about him?
Yeah, I would hope that they take a serious look. Well, again, I haven't been. I've been around politics.
Right.
But I took a different path in my career. And if you look, compare my career with most of the people in here, I'm one of only maybe two who's ever been in business in any serious way. So I think that's a big difference. Not saying that that in and of itself is proven by our president doesn't qualify one to do well in government. But I've also been around government and politics, so I get the appreciation for the two. But I would hope that they would, because they're serious people that care about the future of the city and hopefully are looking to be here for long term, not just short term. We celebrate the boom that's going on for them and with them around the building that's being built. But what the real challenge for the next mayor is, how to keep those young people here when they have children, they marry, or they have a family that begins to grow. How do we keep them here and not have them either move outside the city or other parts of the country? That's our big challenge. And I would hope that millennials will join in this campaign, suggest ways that they see the future of this city should go, and help us change this city and not just sit back and gripe or moan as many people do today in politics. And not just the millennials. Lots of people do, and they gripe and moan and then don't vote. And then they get
that
what they
drives
deserve.
Me crazy. If you're going to complain, go vote. Make a difference.
Get engaged. Get engaged in your community. Add something back in charitable and philanthropic and civic ways, of which we have lots of people that do that in Chicago today.
You were Secretary of Commerce. I got to ask you about the trade wars going on, the tariffs. What's your opinion
on
that?
Look, Look, the world's changed dramatically in 25 years since the opening began. I think there are positive things, quite frankly, that Trump is doing around trade that have to be corrected. I think, as so many things with him, there may be slivers of right decisions, but the process in which he goes about it is just mind-boggling. I think the change with China is necessary about a trade relationship. I may argue with the way he's going about it. I think tariffs are an important tool that can be used. But when that's all you're using and you don't seem to have a strategy beyond just, we'll put the tariffs on,
right?
That's a problem. And especially when you're putting tariffs and attacking your allies and our friends who we have very strong economic relations with.
Can we lighten the mood a little bit?
Yeah.
Talk a little baseball.
Great.
Real quick. Because I want your thoughts, because we were talking a little bit about this before we went on the air. If the White Sox were able to get Manny Machado, can you convince him to play third, or do you need to move Tim Anderson?
You'd probably have to move Tim Anderson, to be honest with you, even though he had a hell of a year last year. But it would be, I think we would move the pace of the change in the White Sox in a way that the fan base, I know, would be unbelievably excited. I think they'd probably do quite well in their preseason sales. He's a heck of a ball player. I'd put him, to be frank with you, I'd put him wherever he wants to play. All due respect to Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
But that would be a heck of an addition, and I think would give not only the fan base, I think it would help the younger players, and especially the ones that we're basing the future on, to step up, you know, and even maybe at a faster pace.
Yeah.
That would be great. Great to have a Southside dynamism in the White Sox and a mayor from the Southside.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fun to see this city come together because, you know, you have Cub fans, Sox fans, but the Bears, when the Bears win, we all come together.
Right.
It's just wonderful in this city.
Yeah, it is. It's great. You know, they've changed this in a year. Nobody, very few people believe they could do it. Pace was beat up like heck.
Oh man.
My God.
I was one of the guys that was beating him up.
Everybody was.
John
Why
Fox
not? It
had
was
to
easy.
Go.
Yeah, but he had a hell of a career in Denver. But look at it. It just shows you one person can make a difference. Nagy has made a heck of a difference. And when people say, oh, you know, you elect a mayor, it doesn't really matter. Trust me, it can make a difference.
What's the first thing you do if you get into office?
The first thing I'm going to do is probably take a serious look at the leadership in the police department and make a decision how we... I've set a goal of a 75% reduction in shootings and murders, and I think we've got to get serious about that. And on this violence prevention piece, which I proposed 2 months ago or whatever, a serious funding of that, and a change in the attitude in how we deal with the police department and the men and women who are on the street protecting us every day.
Fantastic. It's good to see
you again.
Nice
seeing you. Are you Happy New Year.
Do you just run from event to event? Is that what you're doing?
No, right now, to be honest with you, this last couple of days has been pretty light. I think the pace will pick up because the election is 8 weeks from New Year's Day.
Right.
So it's with about 18 candidates. I mean, you're going to need a bus. Maybe we should get a bus and all drive around together.
You know? One last question. And there's actually 21 people running for mayor of Chicago. How do you stand out? You have to have a clear message.
You have a clear message. Try to get on your radio show. And what you do is I'm out spending time throughout the city, all parts of the city. We've obviously done well in fundraising, and we're using that money to get our message out through social media, through television, radio. And we're trying to do all of that. But it is a very short period of 8 weeks with 18, what will probably end up being 15 to 18 people. And hopefully people will take a serious look and get engaged in this campaign because it is about the future of the city.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Good. Thanks, Pete. Happy New Year's.
DailyForMayor.com. Thank you, Bill Daly.
Thank
Happy
you.
New Year. Let's take a look at news. Dave Schwann, what do you have for us?